Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. People stopping, staring. I can't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain. Going where the weather suits my clothes. Banking off of the northeast wind, sailing on summer breeze, and skipping over the ocean like a stone. My clothes, banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on summer breeze, and skipping over the ocean like a stone. Everybody's talking at me, can't hear a word they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. I won't let you leave my love behind. No, I won't let you leave.
Good afternoon and happy Wednesday. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports here on Global Patriot Radio at blogtalkradio.com. Great day. We've got great guests coming on at 5:45, and it's going to be a good one. It's going to talk about a little bit about being a Hawkeye mom and talk about NIL, the name, image, and likeness. There are several ways to interact with us here. You can, of course, log in online, blogtalkradio.com. Go to the live button and look for Global Patriot Radio. You can come direct to the show, which I put out on Twitter every week. You can also call. Yes, you can. 319-527-6706. When you do that, you can listen in. If you want to interact, you can hit the 1 and you can ask a question of me or guests whenever I have them on, like today. So that is two ways. You can also email me anytime, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook. Just look for Hank Jones Poly Sports, or you can interact with me on Twitter. If you follow me, I will follow back, and probably get unsolicited follows if you ever show up in my feed and I think you look cool. Yes, yes, yes. The other shows on Blog Talk Radio's Global Patriot Radio. Mondays, Vito and Al, the Vito Esposito Show. Tuesdays, Eric with Radio Free Kafiristan. I'm here every Wednesday, of course. Every Thursday, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Fridays, you have Conservative Casual Friday with Andrew Herod. Saturday nights at 10 p.m. till midnight, Minister Usama Dak and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. And then Sunday, Eric is back with Real Interfaith Dialogue. So those are the great shows on Global Patriot Radio here on blogtalkradio.com. And 7 days a week, 7 shows, different hosts, and sometimes more, but usually 8 different hosts. Some recent obituaries. Last week, former Stanford and San Francisco 49ers tight end Greg Clark passed away, age 49. No cause was listed, but Greg Clark been suffering from CTE-like symptoms. So that's very sad. 49, it's too young. You know, we say athletes get the best of care, get the best of everything, but they still need to monitor those things. Some people are obviously more susceptible. In this case, it appears that Greg Clark definitely was. A former Casting Crowns drummer, Andy Williams, was also 49. He was killed last week in a traffic collision. Now, Casting Crowns is a contemporary Christian band, started in Daytona Beach, Florida, back in 1999. They relocated to McDonough, Georgia. Williams was the drummer from 2001 to 2009. This is a weird one. Last Saturday, former heavyweight boxer and MMA practitioner Travis Fulton died by suicide in the Linn County, Iowa jail. He was just 44. He has more documented MMA fights than any other fighter, with 320. He also fought in 75 boxing matches, which isn't exactly a paltry sum either. His MMA record was 255 wins, 54 losses, and 10 draws, one no contest. Boxing record, not quite as glowing, 25 wins, 48 losses, and two draws. He was basically, when it came to boxing, I think he was an opponent, a scheduled opponent for up-and-coming fighters. But MMA, I mean, he won the Iowa Challenge every year, as an example, which I know some will say, what is that? But it's a thing that they held every year, and he won it two or three years in a row. He'd been arrested on federal child pornography charges earlier this year. He had pleaded not guilty. He was found hanging in his jail cell by officials early last Saturday morning, and an investigation is underway, but very sad end. American fiddle player. I know some people would say violin. No, fiddle. When it's bluegrass and country, it's a fiddle. American fiddle player Byron Berline also passed away last Saturday. He was 77. He played bluegrass, country, rock, Cajun, blues, old time, and ragtime. Pretty diverse resume includes stints with Bill Monroe's Bluegrass Boys, Dillard and Clark, the Flying Burrito Brothers, the Stephen Stills Band Manassas, Bob Dylan, the Rolling Stones, Elton John, the Byrds, Earl Scruggs, Willie Nelson, Janice Ian, Doc Watson, John Denver, Gene Clark, Rod Stewart, the Eagles, the Band, Vince Gill, Graham Parsons, Emmylou Harris, Tammy Wynette, Alabama, Don Francisco, Mary Chapin Carpenter, the Dillards, Mason Williams, Manhattan Transfer, Joe Diffie, the Doobie Brothers, Lucinda Williams, Francois Vola, Mickey Gilley, Deke Leonard, and Andy Statman. Did I mention he had a rather diverse resume and a pretty extensive discography? Although he is not listed as one of the 37 different members of Spinal Tap. Pretty long list of playing gigs. Very, very well known in the bluegrass field. On Monday, it was a rough day. We lost Charles Robinson. Most famous as Mac on Night Court. Long list of both film and TV credits, including Sugar Hill, The Black Gestapo, Emergency, I loved that show, White Shadow, loved that one, Lou Grant, Roots, The Next Generations, which for those who are fans of Roots, as I was, Next Generations was, I could say, is good. Maybe not quite the high-powered resumes that you saw on Roots, but pretty high-powered. Flamingo Road, Hill Street Blues, St. Elsewhere, Buffalo Bill, that was with Dabney Coleman, Hotel, which is sort of like, that came in after Love Boat, as I remember. Love and War, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and The John Larroquette Show, as well as Home Improvement, and two episodes of This Is Us. I love that show. He was also on all four episodes of a Freeform TV miniseries called Love in the Time of Corona, which I watched as well. I really liked watching him. His Mac character on Night Court was a masterpiece. He was absolutely fantastic in that role. 75. He'd had some health issues the last couple of years. Later Monday, we lost former Louisiana Governor Edwin Edwards at age 93, Tory failure. He had served in the House from 1965 to 72, and then he served as governor of Louisiana. Get this, 1972 to 80, 1984 to 88, and 1992 to 96. And then finally on Monday, we lost former University of Tampa running back and pro wrestler Paul Orndorff, a.k.a. Mr. Wonderful. ran for over 2,000 all-purpose yards and 21 TDs at University of Tampa. Failed NFL physicals with the New Orleans Saints, who drafted him, and also the Kansas City Chiefs. He began his pro wrestling career in Mid-South. He feuded with Jerry Lawler. He won the NWA Southern Heavyweight Championship. Then he lost it back to Lawler and left the Memphis territory. NWA was that way. They had territories all over. In fact, when you talk about polysports, pro wrestling was probably the genesis of that term, or not that term, but that existence. He went on to various NWA territories. He won the NWA Tag Team Championships with Jimmy Superfly Snuka. He won several different territory singles titles in NWA, both as a babyface and a heel. Eventually won the NWA National Heavyweight title. That later became the U.S. title. He lost that belt to get into a feud with NWA champion Ric Flair for the heavyweight title, world heavyweight title. He left NWA in 1982, did a couple tours in Japan, came back to the States to join WWF from 1983 to 1988, feuded with Hulk Hogan for the world title. He's part of the Bobby Heenan family for a bit. When he was feuding with Hogan the first, that's where Randy Savage gave him the name Mr. Wonderful, got rid of his previous name, which was the Brandon Bull. He was from Brandon, Florida. During his run against Hogan, he injured his arm. And because of that feud, he didn't immediately seek treatment. So the injury got worse. He ended up retiring for a while in 1988, came back for a brief run in WCW before heading off for some regional promotions. He returned to WCW, which was the former NWA, the Atlanta Burn, won the TV title and the World Tag Team title alongside Pretty Paul Roma. The name of that team, Pretty Wonderful. But the neck and arm injury eventually forced him to retire in 2000. He stayed on with WCW to run their power plant training facility. When it was taken over by WWE, he did not go along. Although he was inducted into WWE Hall of Fame in 2005 and the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame in 2009, he actually wrestled a match in 2017 at a Canadian wrestling elite event, won a six-man tag title at the age of 67. He was actually diagnosed with cancer in 2011. They got it into remission, but in May of this year, his son Travis showed video of his dad at a facility with signs of dementia, and Travis believed it was due to CTE. I think most people would have agreed. He passed away in Fayetteville, Georgia, Monday. It was not said whether dementia or CTE was the cause, but his Twitter announcement, his son Travis noted that wrestling takes care of drug rehab and various arrested and addicted wrestlers, does a poor job of taking care of wrestlers who are fortunate enough to make it to old age, frankly. He noted, you know, he said, we can't change the past, but we can start doing something now. He did not and does not blame Vince McMahon or WWE. As he said, nobody knew back then what was going to happen later, but a class act, no doubt. Raised a class family. Rest in peace, Brandon Bull, a.k.a. Mr. Wonderful. A long career. By all accounts, a great guy. And, you know, if you go to the Twitter universe, you see all the different guys that paid homage to him and really respected him. So it's a sad loss for the wrestling world. But life goes on. Hey, want to give a shout-out to some of the folks. Indie Hawk KB is in the chat room. So if you want to join in, you can engage in great banter with him. We got several people on the phones. Numbers I recognize, I see Brother Tommy and Big Sister. I see Hawkeye Mike and T. Bodie in there, and I think Sue from New Mexico is in as well. And we're coming up on 5:45, and that's when our guest hopefully is going to join us. I'm looking for her number. Don't see it yet, but her name is Nikki Britt, as I mentioned. She's going to be coming on and talk a little bit about name, image, and likeness and what it's like to be a Hawkeye mom. If you remember last year, I interviewed Felicia Goodson, the mother of Tyler Goodson, and we'll do the same kind of thing. I'll talk about what was it like going through the recruiting process and really the kind of thing that is going to happen with name, image, and likeness. I know, if you're like me, all the initial thoughts were this is going to be terrible. This is going to be – I thought about that. When I had Steve Dace on the show 2 years ago, Steve said, look, you may as well get it out in the open and above board rather than sit there and worry about booster money or whatever. He said, let it come out this way. Let these kids learn how to deal with money now, frankly. He said, you all already have a way to monitor things. You have a tax agency that can take care of that, i.e. the IRS. So let them learn. Let them start negotiating now. Now, I think in some cases they might be able to hire agents. I don't know if that's going to be the case. I don't know if it actually will work that way. But, we'll talk about it with Nikki, and it'll be a good chance to just to see what do some of the parents think and how they're going to deal with it. Don't even know how much you really don't know how much it's going to have an effect. And so we'll see. I've got Nikki on now. She's coming on. I'm going to quickly say hi to her, but I'm going to play a little music and, so that we can get so I can get ready to introduce her. So let's do this. Let's get the Iowa fight song going. And that's a way to kind of welcome her. And I'll be on in a second, folks. Okay, you on, Nikki?
Hi.
Hey, Nikki, how are you?
I'm great. I actually got you an extra guest. I got Mr. Britt over here.
Samuel or Justin?
Oh, no, I got Dad on the phone. Sitting next to me.
Okay, great. Well, welcome to you both. It's Samuel, correct?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Well, I'm really glad to have you both on. Nikki Britt and Samuel Britt, the parents of Justin Britt. Now, Justin is a third-year player, I think classified as a redshirt sophomore, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And he's a Hawkeye. He's an offensive lineman with the Hawkeyes. And I want to ask you a few questions. I sort of shoot from the hip, but trust me, they're not stupid questions, and if they are stupid, just laugh at me. First of all, when did y'all know that he was really a major college material? When did you know that, he's got a future and he's going to play big college ball? When did you guys know?
He was born 13 pounds.
Oh.
I think Dad would say what, early on?
He was born 11 pounds, 9 ounces, so I kind of figured he was going to do something in football. So we just made it like a focal point for him to get into football, and that's where it started at, is just at a young age.
Okay.
I do believe he was 5 or 6 years old.
Where does he sit in – Nikki, you said you have – this is an interesting way of put it. You said you have 6 shirts and – or 3 shirts and 3 skirts. I assume
– Yes.
So where does he fit?
We have – he is the second oldest. So we have an older son who's 24. Justin is 20. He'll be 21 this year. Then we have so 2 boys, and then there's 2 girls – 17 and 15, and then we have an 8-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter, rounds them out, and we call her the Mohican because she's the last one.
Well, I was the 5th of 6, so I know what it's like coming from a big family. So are the other ones, are any of the other ones involved in sports in any way?
So Stephanie, which is the soon-to-be 17-year-old, she runs like the wind. So she's okay. into track. Andrew, which is our youngest son, he actually starts football on Monday.
Oh, wow.
So he has his very first camp, and he's 8. Justin's oldest brother, he used to play. What position was he? Wide receiver?
Wide receiver.
He was a wide receiver. And then Sam actually, he did basketball in high school. And unfortunately, a tragedy with losing both his parents took him away from playing at the second level regarding college. So
okay.
Justin comes from a family with some talent.
Sure. Now, is it hard, you know, with multiple kids? Obviously, you're juggling football one place and then track somewhere else. I mean, has it been a challenge?
It is, but it's kind of like we have them in pairs. So Sammy and Justin are, you know, one age, being in their 20s. Then the two middle children, which is Stephanie and Amaya, being in their teens. And then the two little munchkins. And if anyone that has met Andrew, he's the mini philosopher. So
okay.
it's just the personalities are interesting. Heck, getting in the van to just go to a family event with 8 people is always interesting.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine. So I noticed, look, you know, I look at bios. I mean, I've followed his career, but I don't, you know, I don't try to, you know, I don't stalk or anything. But I did notice Justin was born on 9/11/2000, correct?
Yes.
So his first birthday came on a rather tough day for this country. Has that affected his birthdays each year?
Not at all.
Good.
He doesn't put the two together. He
sure.
separates them. He knows that that happens then, but on that day it's about his birthday, so not at all.
So good. That's good. I mean, you just think about people that, you know, they get somber on certain days. It's good that he's – but I noticed this year it's kind of noteworthy because it's his 21st birthday, and it happens to fall on a Saturday when the Hawkeyes will be in Ames playing an Iowa State team that's ranked pretty high this year. Is that going to be that should – I imagine you guys will be at that game.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't miss them. We don't miss them at
yeah.
all.
So you're able to get to all games, away games and everything?
Well, we kind of once it gets colder in the year, because it's really hard to be in the stands with the two younger ones.
Sure.
They're always either ready to go or they want 50 snacks or something of that nature. It reminds me of when he played in middle school and high school. You know, the kids were normally, instead of watching the game, they Justin was just Justin to them. Their brother
sure.
is on the field, whoop-de-whoop.
Yeah.
So they would run under the stands and go play with their friends and things of that nature. So being able to see not only him, but the teammates that we support and still cheer and be focused, sometimes I sacrifice where I'm at home and I have the munchkins so that dad can travel.
Okay.
Just so that we can make a point to make it to every game. And then there's just some games that, you know, what's the one you went with, Jay? It was just too cold.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I mean,
but we have not missed a single home game since he's been a part of the Hawkeyes.
Okay, great. Well, that's good. I mean, there's nothing like Kinnick Stadium. I imagine it was – how was
nothing.
It for you guys last year with empty stands, though? Was that – I mean, was that a downer, or was it just – you just kind of figured, oh, well, that's what it is? I mean, I can't imagine what it was like for the players. What was it like for the parents?
You still get that sense of – still get that fan sense when you're there. So the big screen's going on and – you still get those goosebumps, and you still waving at the kids and at the end of the first quarter. So outside of all the yelling and loud, you know what I mean, you still get that tingly feeling.
Yeah. Tell us what it's like to be there for that wave. I mean, because you were also there in 2019, so before COVID. What is that? I've never been in the stands for that. What is that? What is that feeling?
So before we got to experience.
Okay. Go ahead.
Before we got to experience it, I did some research. You know, I was on YouTube to see why it was so, because I wanted to know why it was so important to Iowa. So
sure.
I watched the videos. I watched the story from Ference. I was able to have a background of why it was. It wasn't necessarily the fans and the players that kind of made me go, oh, my goodness, this is a big thing. It was how the atmosphere captivated the opposing team as well. That is what, like, oh, my goodness, this is something that is really, really big, and it's recognized. And not only are you looking up and waving, but they're waving back down at you. And once you realize that you were in an atmosphere that was, it was more than just, oh, okay, stand up and wave, that it actually meant something, and to be able to know the story behind it, it is somewhat overpowering. And then to even do it at away games, knowing that it has so much meaning to it, that's overpowering too.
So away, they do it at all the away games, or just
at the end of the first quarter every game?
Really? I thought it was just for home games. So they're doing it at away games now. That's fantastic. And that gets the other schools into it as well. And that's
yes.
Excellent. I mean, little change of course here. Did he know what he wanted to study before he got into the recruiting process, or does he know now even? I mean, he's only 20, so.
Right. So Justin had to make some adjustments in what he wanted to be when he grew up, based off of the schools he chose. Justin
okay.
has always been a person that was interested in marine biology, or just he wanted to do something with water. So we told him he'd have to pick a school on the coast. And when it came down to what Justin wanted to the schools that were recruiting him, and he was very blessed. He didn't have two or three schools, and it was just like, okay, I'll pick this one. He did have some choices. So
sure.
Once he realized that his final two were between Purdue and Iowa just, it felt home. It felt like home to him. Once he got that down on that field and he was standing with his band of brothers and he was waving at the Children's Hospital, we didn't even get a chance to discuss it. It was, yeah, I'm going to go. This is it. I'm signing. I'm committed. And we were like, hold up, time out. Wait a minute. No, let's talk about this. So once he felt home, then he had to decide what majors were being offered and what he wanted to do. So some people put the cart before the horse, but the school came first, and then he made his decision on majoring after that.
Okay. So where else did he visit? Obviously Purdue. Did he visit any other Indiana schools?
We went to Indiana when he was in eighth grade.
Okay.
But we went to Louisville, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Purdue. Yeah, he had a plethora of offers, but when, like she said, when we went to Iowa, it just felt like home.
So that's
they
that
didn't
was
treat
it
him
for
like
him.
A number.
So that's what made it his choice then. He just felt home there.
Yes, because he had boiled down the decision to Purdue and Iowa. And
okay.
we were, of course, if he had stayed in our backyard and we'd make it to every game and he was right down the street, he could visit as much as, you know, he wanted and we can go see him. But we stood behind his decision, and no one, him nor us, regret that he decided to become a Hawkeye. I think that it's awesome. The fans are awesome. Just interacting with people on social media. I've gotten to meet some wonderful people. The tailgating is fantastic. And, you know, we have four younger ones under Justin. So there will be a lot of college experiences and a lot of opportunities, and we'll be a part of different schools. But this is, I can't describe the love that we have received from the community, from him being a Hawkeye. And I can only imagine once he's actively on the field and everyone knows who Justin Britt is that don't already, I can only imagine that will get bigger.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think a lot of Hawkeye fans know who he is. I mean, if you go on some of the message boards, everybody certainly knows. You know, he was, during his recruiting period before, you know, as he was signing, you know, he was talked about a lot. And one of the things that came up was that he had been injured his senior year. Has that been totally resolved? I noticed that he was injured his freshman year a little bit too, that he, I forgot which game where he did not, I think it was, was it the Purdue game that he got hurt his freshman year?
No, it wasn't the Purdue game. I think it was the Miami game, but he just had like a, I think it was like a head injury that they wanted to watch out for.
Okay,
but
okay. So it's not it's not the ACL or.
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
So he's fully ready to go.
Yes, he's fully ready to go.
Good.
Just like with any high school senior. I mean, it did take its toll on him because he knew his senior year of high school was his year to shine. He knew he had already had his college choice. He had already been committed. But Justin still had something that he wanted to prove on the field. So it took him redirecting his energy because he was the person that ran people over. He had to do some redirecting, and then I think it humbled him and more than he already was. If you've ever met my son, he is the goofiest, lovable, he's just a beautiful, beautiful soul. And I do recall that, you know, a lot of the coaching staff, that's one of the things that they enjoyed about him, that he could laugh, he knew his football, very knowledgeable. So when he did get injured his senior year, he turned more into a sideline coach that was motivating his teammates. And you could, you know, I have videos of him just hyping them up and getting them ready to go. And, you know, but he had to motivate them, and he had to be motivated too during his senior year.
Oh, good. Now, does he want to play pro ball? I mean, is he thinking that way, or is he just kind of, you know, seeing how it goes, or?
No, Justin wants to play at the next level.
Good. Okay.
He is ready. So, but the great thing about it is Justin, because you'll hear dad, put Justin on the field. That block, you know, that play wouldn't have went like that if you know, sideline coach. But
sure.
Justin is so awesome that he'll tell dad, when my coach says I'm ready, I'm ready. I'll get in when he wants to put me in. And a lot of players are not like that. They're like, oh, my goodness, I'm not playing, so I'm transferring, or I'm not doing this, or they're not utilizing me. And Justin, now I know he has the same energy, like, oh, I want to play. I wish I was in this game. But he also has I'll get in when I get in. I must have something else to prove in practice type mentality.
Well, it sounds like, though, that he's going to see the field a lot this year. I know that here's what's interesting. He's mentioned at guard, but he's also mentioned at center. Is that what the staff is thinking, that that's where he's going to end up, or is it just more a matter of he provides you know, because obviously Tyler Linderbaum is a pretty good center, so you know, but it would also be nice to have somebody ready to go. Or is he focusing on center, or is he still focusing more on guard?
He's playing He's more focused on the guard, but he knows the center role.
Okay.
Him and Shooter and Lindenbaum, they all work together, you know what I mean, just to make sure that
sure.
Justin knows each and every role. I do believe that he was working with Alaric at left tackle, so to know, you know what I mean, that part of the field too. So he's going to be very versatile and knowing what he can do at each position.
And that's really key at Iowa because, I mean, as much as you always hear how great, you know, our offensive lines are, you know, depth is really important too. And so, we've seen it over the years. I mean, even Brian Ferentz for a while, although he was primarily a center, 1 year he was injured during the offseason, but he came back and actually played guard because the center was already, you know, there's a communication and a rhythm and that's required. And so, you know, being versatile on the Iowa line is a good thing, and it's kind of a necessary thing. But I look forward to seeing that, though, to seeing him. And it sounds like the line is really, you know, you lose guys, but it sounds like this line is still, you know, as good as the Iowa lines that we're used to seeing. So it's good to see. So we should expect to see him at guard, and then if something goes at center, he's ready to go at least.
He's ready to go.
Okay. Now, Nikki, you tweeted last year and this is why I'm bringing this up. You tweeted about a go-to dish. You remember you asked, what's your go-to dish? So what is your go-to dish?
As much as I post about food, I do want everyone to know that my husband's the cook. He will work a long, hard day, and he'll come home, and he is the cook. So I would love to say whatever he's fixing that evening, but we have a pretty solid steak family here. So,
okay.
Steak is wonderful in our household.
Oh, that's good.
Lasagna would be next.
So Sam, what's your go-to dish then? If it's not steak.
I'm a seafood person. You know what I mean? I like the seafood. I'm a lobster,
okay.
And even though it takes a long time to eat, you know what I mean? You know, breaking all that crap up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
but
how about tailgate?
That's what I like.
Do you have a tailgate go-to?
Oh, nachos.
Okay.
Outside of those.
I like my buffalo dip.
Oh, yeah. Well, those big turkey legs, those big turkey legs are nice, too.
Oh yeah. They didn't have them when I was at Iowa in the 80s. So they didn't have them going when I was there. So I'm kind of jealous. I mean, I love turkey legs, but you know, I'll have to get back.
Yeah. It's a place called Big Ass Turkey Legs. I don't know if I can say that, but
no, you absolutely can. This is the internet. This is not regular FM or AM.
Right.
So you can, heck, I've had people that come on here and drop F-bombs and everything, and I just have to – I sort of cringe, but at the same time, there's nothing – you know, there's no law. So, okay, what about when Justin comes – now, I know he probably doesn't get home as much as, you know, I mean, they don't even have Thanksgiving at home anymore most of the time, and I don't know how much time they get at Christmas, but when he comes home, what does he want? What's his go-to meal when he comes home?
A burger.
A burger.
At home?
Yes.
Okay. Because last year, Felicia Goodson, when she was on, I asked her what's Tyler's go-to when he gets home, and she says, "Oh, he gets in the car and goes to Zaxby's." So I thought that was kind of funny to hear. It's not even looking for mom's cooking; he's just looking for Zaxby's. So burger, okay. Now let's get to NIL, the name, image, and likeness. Do you think? I mean, as parents, you can't be against opportunities for a son or daughter to benefit because they're, you know, it's no longer a part-time thing. I mean, it's full-time when they're in school. They're full-time students and they're full-time athletes. But do you see them, are players, is there a worry that players will be too focused on it? Do you feel that?
I personally don't. And just for transparency, Sam and I have difference of opinions when it comes to this.
Okay, that's fine.
My thing is that I think it's a great thing. I think that they are the ones that are on the field breaking ankles, arms, feet, concussions, having sprains, tears, all this other stuff. And if they're putting their bodies on the line, then yes, they should get paid. And then a lot of people would love to argue, they are getting paid, they're getting scholarships. No, that's not the same. That's like me saying, oh, I am getting paid, but if I go above and beyond, I get bonuses at work. I get quarterly bonuses or raises or things of that nature. I do sure. get extra rewards. If, you know, the school can sell their jersey, if you could sell a poster and make money off of it, then what is wrong with them making money off of themselves? Now,
right.
I think the big issue is that does it take away from the spirit of the game? Do they stop being the lovable, wonderful people that were like, oh, my goodness, that's Justin Britt? No. Because he's still going to be him. If you stop him at Hy-Vee and ask for an autograph, he is going to give it to you. But if they're having a particular event and they're doing an autograph signing and you come to it knowing it's that particular event, then yes, pay the $10, $15, $20 so they can sign 20 articles of something for you, take a picture with them just like any pro athlete. And then, you know, call it the day. If you want to catch them after a game so you can get it for free, then that's not going to change. They're not going to go, oh, no, I can't give you a high five unless you give me 10 bucks for it. That is not these kids' mentality. What they're doing is saying, wow, I'm 20 years old. I get, you know, a few hundred bucks a month. I still have to pay rent and my bills, and I have to eat and pay my car note and do all this. My parents are helping me, but they may have other children at home or whatever, whatever. I am getting a scholarship that pays for my schooling, just like an academic scholarship that pays for my schooling, but this is what I can do so that I can survive out here. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. If I can go, because I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, and that's where me and my husband differ as well. But if I can go take a jersey or something and pay $15, $20 and get the whole team to sign it, I'm going to do that because I'm a fan and I want my jersey signed and it means something to me. I'm not going to bash – you know, the team because they wouldn't do it for free. So I'm completely for it.
Okay. Sam, how do you differ?
I differ by, I think it'll take the love of the game out because now these kids don't have the love. They won't have the love for the game outside of trying to make it a business. And then you might get players that don't want to play at 100% because they're scared of getting hurt and it'll mess up their endorsements or it'll mess up their, you know what I mean, their little stuff that they got going on.
Yeah,
so,
that's a valid,
I mean,
that's a valid point.
I'm 50-50 for it. Like, I do want to see my son, you know what I mean, thrive and get his, you know what I mean, get his money. But at the same time, I do see it going to the where, you know what I mean, you're going to get these high-profile players that think that they're, you know what I mean, they don't stink and they're going to tank. You just go out and not play full, you know what I mean, their whole potential.
Yeah, I think we've, you know, some good arguments on both sides. I think, you know, the thing is we already have that. You know, we already have guys that have blown off bowl games, you know, because they're not high-profile enough. On the other hand, as Nikki mentioned, you remember Chris Webber, when he was at Michigan, said part of the reason he knew it was time to go to the NBA is because when he saw kids buying his jersey and he couldn't afford to buy his own jersey. Now, that was a little off because we found out later their boosters were giving him all kinds of money. But at the same time, I think it's a valid point. I mean, the school profits from these kids. And, you know, so the kids ought to get to share in those spoils. And here's the other thing that people, I think, may not understand. The schools aren't doing this, right? It's the kids have to do this on their own. It can't go through the school, correct?
Correct.
No. And this is the next question I have about it. You have daughters, a daughter that's an athlete. Do you think females will see the same opportunities?
That's a hard question. Like the NBA versus the WNBA. I don't have an answer to that because of the level that like our athlete is at.
Sure.
But I honestly think it is going to be harder. And if they're not making a name for themselves in the sport, it's just going to be hard all around, because like the rule says, you can't be at the school, you can't use, you know, the school. I don't even think they can like wear their gear or anything like that. So if you don't know these players, you know, you're not going to spend $15-$20 to get anything from them.
Right.
I think it's going to be hard. But as far as the gender role, I'm not – at this time, I'm not one way or the other on that one.
Yeah. I wonder if it's – part of the thing is it's a work – you know, Title IX is a real thing. You know, a school can't have all men's sports and no women's sports. You wonder if this is just kind of a way for them to work around Title IX and not be liable. I mean, you know, if somebody comes to Iowa or any other Big Ten school and says, well, your female athletes aren't profiting the same way. I mean, the school has a perfect answer. Well, we don't manage that. This is the players managing it, you know? So yeah. Do you think it's going to be a burden for the athletes to actually have to manage this? I mean, they're going to it's another time element, another activity they have to juggle maybe. And Sam mentioned, you know, is it going to be important?
If you got active family members that are in their corner and have their best interests at heart, I don't think it'll be such a burden on the student, because he's got somebody that he knows he can trust and get everything taken care of for him.
Okay.
I'm gonna say yes, because just in the society that we're in, a lot of our players, no matter their nationality, their ethnicity, they are still raised in single parent households. So not all of them have. You know, you got one parent, whether it's mom or dad, but I'll use a stereotypical, you have mom that's already working, you know, a job, maybe two jobs, taking care of other little ones, but her son has been talented and blessed enough to get a scholarship and go to college, and she wants to help. She wants to have that same energy, but may not have the full backing as a lot of these other students. I do think that some of it, like there's a lot of players, this is what people are not acknowledging. There's a lot of players, forget the fans that are against it. There's a lot of players that don't want this. They're like, I don't want to be pressured into doing this. What happens if this particular person gets all these contracts and this person gets zero? I mean, let's just play football. So there are a lot of players that are just, I signed up to play football. I want to play football. Let's go from there.
Yeah.
So I think this is just interesting.
Yeah. I think the beauty of that, though, Nikki, is that a kid doesn't want to do it. He doesn't have to. He or she doesn't have to. You know, I mean, it's
true.
I mean, I imagine there would be times when it's like, hey, they want the whole backfield, or they want all the wide receivers because of whatever the business might be. You know, you say it's a truck company, or, you know, in Iowa, you know, a tractor company. Hey, they want the offensive line down there because, you know, they want to go with the theme of, you know, we move mountains for you, and have the Iowa offensive line. Well, you know, there could be some pressure in that way. But otherwise, if a kid doesn't want to do it, he doesn't have to. I think that's the one saving grace of this, is that a kid isn't required to do it, you know, whereas,
right.
You know, other activities they are. I mean, I maybe not always, but I mean, you know, the teams, you know, teams, athletes go visit kids in the hospital, for instance. And I think there's probably a little bit of pressure at times for, hey, let's all go down and visit these kids. And sometimes, you know, hey, I've got a test to study for. And that's a little different. But here it's a matter of, hey, look, you know what? I don't want to do this. I'm not going. You guys have a good time. I have no problem. But so I think that's the saving grace of it, is that it's, you know, it's the opportunity, but it's not the requirement, you know, whereas to keep your scholarship, you have to have a certain grade point average. So
right.
You know, there's that angle of it. So now other than playing at the next level, what is Justin thinking? What does he want to do after football? What does he see as a life after football? I mean, you mentioned a sideline coach, sort of. Is that something that interests him?
Absolutely. Justin actually wants to start a camp. He wants to, whether it's, I'm not 100% sure if he wants it just here in Indy, if he has a passion to do it in Iowa as well, but he sincerely wants to give back. He wants to take everything that he has learned from 5 years old through today's date and bring up the next somebody.
Okay, that's very admirable, and it's unfortunately we forget that you know we see the NILs and see that and we think greedy kids. We forget that these kids do have a spirit to serve, and that's fantastic. I mean, that would be and you see it, you see guys that are doing these camps. So that would, so why not? If he can do that. Now, does he think he'll come back to Indianapolis? Does he see himself staying in Iowa after graduation? Or
I think it's a little too early to tell. I think he's yeah. open to opportunities. I'm going to piggyback on something you just said. What I think a lot of people forget is that they're still kids. These yeah. are 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. So when you throw out, hey, you want to make some money, they're, yes, I do. So
yeah.
That, so as far as what he wants to do, what his life is after football, Justin's changed his major a few times. He's now into sports medicine, something like that. So I think he's still trying to figure out Justin.
Okay.
So once he figures that out and he's completely 110% on his degree and we're hitting that finish line, then I think the conversation will be, what are we doing after school? Because I tell the rest of my kids is you have to have a lot of fires going. So Justin has thought about, okay, what if the NFL doesn't come calling? Because I know I got to get the exposure. I got to touch the field. They got to see what I can do. I got to stay healthy. What is your goal if there is nothing after you graduate regarding sports? So that's where his mind is. The only thing that we know for sure is if he does come home, it will be only for a year, and then he's moving on.
Right. Okay. Well, that's fair enough. I mean, it's hard. Some people know from day one what they're going to do. They plot their things out. It's a little different. As you said, he's got a lot of fires going. And so it's, you mentioned something else about single parents or even just families. I think that's another thing that's overlooked in the NIL scenario is, the kid that can, we expect that, they're looking to support their families with an NBA contract or an NFL contract. But this is something that some of these kids can do now to help out at home. And I think, we forget that, as you said, some of these kids have scholarships, but it doesn't necessarily mean they come from a bunch of money or that everybody's got it all figured out. Mom, might be working single, or dad might be, this is – do you see that? Do you think that's going to happen? I mean, the pressure that takes off of a kid. I mean, we forget that. A kid gets out on the field or a kid's in practice all week, but he gets the call from home that, I've lost my job or, we need money for school for your little sister. This could be something that really is a game changer for kids in that regard, because I don't think we don't think about the fact that they feel pressures, even though, yeah, they've got a scholarship and they're on the football team, but they still have pressures every day, So I think that's something you brought up that I think is really going to be that could be a difference maker for a lot of kids. Have you talked with other parents about that kind of thing? Or
we have. I have had a brief discussion with some other parents of, not necessarily Hawkeye parents, but of some like a Purdue parent, an IU mm-hmm. parent. As far as if they think that this is a negative or positive. And they pretty much are both in line with how I feel. And my deal is as long as it's something that the person that's doing it has all the blood, sweat, and tears. So for us, as long as it's something Justin wants to do and it benefits Justin, then that's that. My only concern is if they're being roped into doing something that only benefits, you know, the uncle or this person or that person and how they could possibly be taken advantage of, or they get put into contracts or and stuff. Yes, I promise that my nephew is going to show up, and that's not something that that player even has a passion about or wants their name behind or anything like that. So the only thing I want to tell to a lot of fans is this is year one of this new policy, procedure, or whatever. You know, there's going to be some people that completely abuse it, and there's going to be some people that set the bar for how this is done. But you can't just completely, oh, no, I'm not going to pay for player access or this is going in a negative way, when that's what the world does. It evolves, it changes. So
sure.
We just, you know, you don't want to pay, you know, just like, you know, my if you don't want to pay $20 for an autograph, don't pay $20 for an autograph.
Exactly. Yeah,
so
it's sort of like when someone complains.
To the event.
Yeah, it's like when someone complains that Apple computers are too expensive. Don't buy an Apple computer, you know.
Right.
Buy something else. I mean, if you don't want to pay $80,000 for a Hummer, then pay, you know, $30,000 and get a Jeep, you know, a Jeep Cherokee or whatever it is, you know. I mean, that's and I think that's, you know, people forget. They say, you know, some people say that, "Oh gosh, I'll name a name. Dame Belton has done a couple things that said on he's on Cameo." A couple people said, "Oh my God, they're already doing this." Well, look, you don't have to. Nothing's forcing you to go to Cameo and do this. You don't. I mean, you have that choice. I mean, we are still consumers. It didn't change the fact that we are consumers. So,
this is how I feel about it. Is that I think that fans will have more access to players this way. I think, like I had asked something like, hey, if they were to play a round of golf or something of that nature, where, yes, you possibly are, it could be a free event. It could be a, hey, I just want to hang out with my fans today. Or it could be come play golf with me for $10 type of deal. If you want that one-on-one time with player that you admire, that you would think will be awesome, and you get to spend that time, then why not?
Sure.
I mean, there's some greats in different sports. I would love to give them, I don't know, $100 and have a whole hour of their time. I would love that. So, it just depends on the person.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's the other thing is that, you know, up until this time, really, who really had access to players? You know, and I say access to play, but who really, you know, who wags the dog? It you know, it's the big donors. It's the big, you know, who buys the $400 helmet at the auction? It's not average fan. It's Mr. Big Wig Booster. This gives everybody a chance to have access. I mean, you know, a 15-minute virtual session with somebody over computer, and he signs a card and sends it to you. Everybody can do that. You know, most people can have that access, and it really opens it up to everyone. I think that's a huge positive, is that you're no longer, you know, having to pay to go to the big tailgate party, because you know what, you can get online with a guy and maybe he'll play solitaire against you online. I don't know. I mean, you know, the possibilities are limitless. So yeah, I think that's fantastic. I mean, that part of it is great. You know, we've come off a COVID year. You know, the whole, you know, everyone was affected, you know, no fans, that kind of thing. What do you think, for instance, you know, we talk about tailgating. Do you tailgate with other parents, or do you just pretty much, do most of the parents hang in their own groups, or do you get a chance to meet other parents very often, or?
We are a part of the Hawkeye family.
Okay.
We have so many parents that are friends. You can visit any tailgate at any time. You just get in the chat and tell them you're coming, and It's all hands on deck, and they're welcoming you with open arms.
Good. And is that going to be a big thing this year? I mean, do you think the enthusiasm is going to be a little bigger because everyone's back?
We miss each other. We've already started planning. We started planning tailgates for this season last year. So
wow.
we're a tight-knit group.
Good. Do you tend to congregate with the other, as an example? I mean, you know, you think linemen all hang out together and the wide receiver group hangs out together and the linebackers. Is it like that on the parental level, or do you just sort of gravitate to certain folks, or is it kind of more of a
team sport. It's a team sport. It's like the team. It don't make no difference where you are. If you part of the Hawkeyes, you're welcome.
Oh, that's good. That's. I mean, crowded. I mean, are the tailgates crowded in a full year?
Not uncomfortably crowded, but you know, I mean, you get your back scratches and your butt rubs, squeezing through.
Now, at a big tailgate like that, a big parent tailgate, do you all sort of just divide up? I mean, do you bring something, everybody brings something, or is it more of a somebody arranges it and goes and buys, you know, food at Hy-Vee or wherever?
I would say that we have been pretty blessed when we first got introduced to the tailgates for Iowa, especially being freshman parents. And it was just, hey, come over here. And AJ's parents were the initiators of, hey, you're family now.
AJ.
So, yes.
AJ, is that Alaric Jackson?
Epinesa.
Oh, AJ
no,
Epinesa.
Epinesa.
Okay.
So
okay.
It was beautiful because I can honestly say we never felt out of place. From day one, we felt welcomed. We felt the family environment. And then we venture off from there. So if,
okay,
you know, this family is having an event, this family is having an event, now you're not going to just go up and take a hot dog off the grill, but
right,
you're welcomed. You're very, very welcomed. And that just solidified that Justin chose correctly.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, were you guys at the Northwestern game in 2019? Do you remember?
In Chicago?
Yeah.
The cold one? Yes.
Yeah, okay. Then I saw, I mean, not literally, but I was at that tailgate. I was in Mustard's Last Stand in the hot dog place where they had it outside of, and then I stood out there and sort of mingled with folks. So we probably could have even met each other and not even known it. So, yeah, that was a great tailgate. AJ's dad, I think his dad is Epinesa. He goes by Epi. He was active on the grill, I noticed. So it was a cold game, but it was a fun one. And but yeah, I was at that game. So I saw that. Definitely a good looking tailgate for so you guys enjoy yourselves. That's good. That's excellent, because there's nothing like the college. I mean, there's other sports and all that, and March Madness is exciting, but to me, there's nothing like college football. I think college football is just the absolute best thing, and tailgating's a part of that. So that's great that you all that it's a real family atmosphere, and obviously AJ's father is a huge ambassador for the Hawkeyes, no doubt. So.
Yeah.
Back to NIL for just a quick second. What should, if you wanted to tell fans one thing, fans that have worried about that it's going to ruin the game, if you could tell them one thing that would say that you think would make it understood, that the average fan, especially older fan like me, who's literally had years and years of quote-unquote amateur, what would you tell a fan to say, look, this is why it's not so bad? What's the one single thing you could say that really makes it good?
I don't know. It might not be what you want to hear, but I would say that it's not about us. It's about the student-athlete. So it really shouldn't matter how you feel. It's about how the kid reacts and how he feels. And it's about his situation, like you said. If he needs to try to do this to better his family life, he shouldn't be ridiculed for trying to make better.
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly what fans want to hear and understand. Nikki, how about you?
My thing is that unless it takes away from your fan experience, if you cannot enjoy the game or someone is brushing you off and saying, no, I can't sign that football unless you pay me for it, unless that is happening, I'd say get over it. Let it go.
Okay.
Any negative mindset you have for it, unless you have a negative experience to back it up. But if it's just something you're scared because it's something new and you're worried about the what ifs, what direction this could possibly one day in the future, a long time from now, happen, then do what fans do. Live in the moment. Support your team. Support your players. And to be honest with you, I would question your fandom. I mean, if you support the team, then you support the players. And unless they're doing something that's illegal or something that's going to put a stain on the program, then stand behind your team.
Okay. No, that's both excellent and valid points. In that regard, is Justin got anything that fans could look for? It's a free plug, and I'm under no constraints. So is there anything that he's doing that fans should know about?
So I think Justin will be present at some things that his fellow teammates has going on. But Justin is very headstrong, and he welcomes any opportunities. I'm definitely going to say that. He welcomes any opportunities. He's 20 years old, so if it has something to do with money or just being available or whatever, he welcomes it. But the one thing I know about my son, I can't speak for anybody else's, is my son will not organize or set up something himself until he feels that he has the backing. And it's, in short story, is he needs to be on the field. He needs people to go, that's my Justin Britt. Even though people know his name, they know what he's capable of or whatever, he wants people to rally behind him before he goes, yeah, come see me and I'm going to charge you $10. He wants to make sure that they know the Justin Britt that they are, I'm going to use somebody else's term, paying to gain access to. So, and he's very adamant about that. If I'm not someone that they can go, yes, Justin, I know him, he's freaking awesome, I would love to pay to go spend 5 minutes with him, then he's not going to do an event. He wants to know and wants his fans to know that he is worth it when he organizes something. But again, that's not going to stop him from being a part of what somebody else does. He's just not going to do it himself until he has proven that he's worth it.
Right. Okay. Now, did you all both go on his recruiting visit to Iowa?
Yes.
His official visit? You both did. Okay. Now, what happens on one? What do the parents do? I mean, are you together the whole time? I assume they spend some time with their potential teammates, their prospective teammates. What are the parents? How are they handled? Are they handled by someone different within the university? Is it?
They put us. We go through when we do the official. They go through. They take the players and go their separate ways, but then we go through and listen to housing and food and a bunch of different things that the parents are supposed to know, medical, you know what I'm saying, as far as if anything happens to him, this is where we got to go. And then they take us through the facility. And then, you know what I mean, we just – they occupy our time.
Good. And so it's but you're not joined at the hip with your son then. That's good, because you want to hear the full story. You don't want to hear what a coach is telling your son just to make it look, you know. So it's good to know then that what the apparatus in place is, hospitals, training facilities, housing, all that. That's okay. I mean, a lot of people don't know. I've never understood really what happens on an official visit. So it's kind of, I guess, would be like what parent orient or what the parents, in orientation, when the student goes through orientation, the parents have a separate, you know, activity that they do during that time. So it sounds similar in that regard, I guess. Go ahead.
Sorry, there is something else that actually sold me. They have a player panel where they actually, all the coaches, all the staff walks out. They hand select, you know, a few teammates, and then you can fire away with questions. And they vow to answer you honestly. And that is what I looked forward more to than anything else. I mean, okay, you're going to feed my kid. They're going to sleep here. This is your weight room. Ooh, great. That's what I look forward to, being able to ask, well, what happens when you do this, or what do you do with your stipend, or what are you majoring in? What did you find easiest to major in and, you know, be a student, an athlete and all this stuff? So that's what I look forward to.
Okay. Well, that sounds – now, do you have a favorite place in Iowa City, like a favorite restaurant or anything, or a place really outside the university that you enjoy?
Big Grove, is that what it's called? Big Grove Brewery.
Oh, okay. Okay. How about a favorite hotel? Do you stay out there, or do you make it an out and back type of thing, or do you stay there overnight?
Oh, no. It's a Friday, Saturday, come home Sunday type of event. We stay in Coralville.
Okay.
So we stay at one of the Marriotts in Coralville.
Okay.
We typically stay at the Spring Hill every
okay.
visit, to the point they know our names.
Oh, okay.
And then we try to bring the rest of our troop with us as much as possible, because going back to the NIL stuff or just football or student athletes in general, he's number 63 to everyone. He's
right.
Justin to us. I just
yeah.
want to see my son. The kids just want to see their brother. And if he's on the field and he's doing his thing where we can be his number one cheerleaders, then, oh, my goodness, fantastic, great. But if he's, you know, sitting on the sideline, like if you ever pay attention to Justin, he's almost never sitting down. He's walking around. He's dancing. He's pouring water on people. He is the same. He's the same in college as he was in high school. He is the hype man, the encourager, and then when he gets on that field, he's in beast mode. So we, you know, we see him, he changes his clothes, and we feed him.
Do you get a chance to see them much on you know, and when you go out for a weekend, do you get a chance to see him much on that weekend or no?
Up until he has to go to practice, yes, okay. We spend as much time with him. We make sure – I think it benefits Justin more because then he looks at his pocket and looks at his mom and dad, and he's like, this is where I want them to take me to eat while they're here.
okay,
yeah.
Yeah.
And we got a good kid because he'll do McDonald's if he could, but, you know, we got a good kid.
Yeah, I don't have any objection to McDonald's myself. I'm not eating it currently because I have a daughter getting married in September, so I'm trying to actually look, trying to get down to the weight that I was when I got married. So no McDonald's for right now, but I'm thinking about it now. You got me thinking. Back to the NCAA, or not back to the NCAA a little bit. A lot of people have said they have dragged their feet on name, image, likeness. A lot of people thought they dragged their feet on COVID, that they didn't make a uniform policy, that they didn't really give much, advisement to schools. How did you all did you feel that the school and you know that the school itself was supportive of parents? I mean, they kept you apprised of what was going on, or do you think that over by and large the whole system worked or did not?
I absolutely think it worked. They let us know what with each stadium that we visited, they gave us advanced knowledge of what their rules and regs were so that we could prepare. Kinnick itself did great. The social distancing was in place. Mask on during the whole game was in place. It was kind of hard for our little munchkins because they're outside and they're trying to figure out why they have to sit in the stadium with the mask on. But they did good to make sure that the adults acted like adults and they took accountability and responsibility and that they made us aware of everything that was going on. Am I happy that – I'm not going to say it's over because COVID is still running rampant, but am I happy that it's lax? Absolutely. I mean, the players are vaccinated. Sam and I are vaccinated. You know, to each his own. If you are, you are. If you're not, you're not. That's your personal preference. But I am glad to welcome fans into the stadium. I am glad to have those loud chants. And then, you know, I want to see the fans because there wasn't a whole lot of people that were doing the Hulk Hawk dance because it was just the parents. I'm just excited all around. I'm excited to hear the band play. I'm excited to see the performances. I'm excited for some level of normalcy.
Yeah, back to – I mean, you had 1 year of it, and then – suddenly it was everything was in turmoil for the next year. So that's I can imagine. I mean, as fans, I can say I'm certainly looking to some semblance of normalcy. I mean, Sam, you said that it was, you know, still Kinnick, but I mean, it's, you know, it's, you could notice it watching on TV. It just wasn't the same. I mean, it really wasn't. So I think fans
are going to really the cardboard figures didn't move as much, but you still. It still gave you the – I mean, it just – for me to be able to still see sun coming out of the tunnel, all of that, I don't care if it was nobody in the stand. And it was three people coming out of the tunnel with my son. It was just still knowing that my son is coming out of that tunnel. Yeah, I still got goosebumps.
Good. Well, that's good. I mean,
to have a full stadium – yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Now, are there other kids from Warren Central currently on the team?
No, not anymore. I do believe Julius transferred.
Julius Prince, okay.
Yes. But there are people from Indy on the squad.
Okay. Who I'm trying to think who else. And again, I could look down the roster. I try not to do that too much. I try not to stalk,
Tyrone,
as they say.
Tracy.
But... oh, okay,
Tyrone,
yeah, that's
Tracy.
Right.
And Higgins, number 45.
Yeah, Jay Higgins. I follow his dad Roy on Twitter. Like I stalk Nikki on Twitter. I don't stalk you, Nikki. I'm just kidding.
So I think it's those three, and I think we had another one leave. It might be another one, but I can't think of his name.
Okay. Do you talk more with those parents or no? Is it just more of a
in general, when we come to Iowa, we have a parent Twitter feed where it's just all the parents of, and we'll let everybody know, like, okay, we're on the road, or we'll get he'll go say he's on the road, or we'll safe travel each other, and okay, well, we'll meet up at the Grove, you know what I mean, stuff like that. So it's just like one big family when it's. When it's football season, even outside of football season, we still talk to each other. I'm real good friends with Mo Goodson, so we still talk to each other during the off season and all of that whatnot stuff. So, and I talked to Jay Kallenberger, and Mitch Lee. Me and him are. Cornhole champions.
Oh, are you?
Decide they want to step to us. We right across the street from the stadium. We taking names and, you know, the rest.
Okay, well, that's funny you say that. I'm a member of a service club that up until COVID held a corn. We called it corn toss. We had a tournament every year, a fundraiser, and we actually made like $18,000 the last year we did it. So it's a fun game to play, but I'm not very good at it. So I wish I was better. Let's put it this way. But so you guys are the champions. Is it a formal thing or is it just an informal championship?
No, everybody know. No problem. Everybody knows. You can say it. You put it out there. They all know.
Do you have title belts? Do you have title belts?
I'm working on one. I'm working on one.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. Wear it proudly. Absolutely. What do you remember? Did Justin, I assume he had a player that was like his recruiting host. Do you remember who it was?
I don't remember his name, but he was a running back.
Okay.
It wasn't Sergeant. Who did Sergeant share time with?
I don't recall his name, but he was a running back.
Okay, so I just wondered if they did linemen with linemen or things like that. I guess it wouldn't always be possible to do that. Did he talk about the recruiting host? I mean, do those guys have much influence, or are they really just more informational, and more, you know, it's more of a team thing?
They're more informational, but you can. Okay. I mean, they was telling Justin the ins and outs, and they didn't sugarcoat it. You know what I mean? They told him that there was going to be some rough times here and there, and you know what I mean? But they still made him feel comfortable enough to still say, I want to come here.
Okay. Lastly, because I don't want – I've held you far longer than I have a right to, but what are your predictions for this season? First of all, do the Hawkeyes win the Big Ten West this year?
Yes.
Okay. And do we win the Big Ten championship game?
Yes.
Okay. So you're saying there's a college football playoff in our immediate future?
That's what I say. I don't know about the rest of everybody, but that's what I say.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, that's
–
We were supposed to go
undefeated last year.
Yeah, it was unfortunate, but I think they finished well. I mean, I thought it was a fun season, and you know, in spite of all the COVID stuff and the, you know, all that, I think it certainly finished strong. Did you get to go to the bowl game his freshman year?
I did not. That was the only game I actually missed, and I was trying to get there. Tickets was too expensive because they took so long to give us the date.
Yeah. Does he get to spend much time, with a bowl game, you know, especially when it's a before New Year's, do you get Christmas time with the players? Or, I mean, do the players get Christmas time with their families, or is it really just a full time through the fall now?
It's full time through the fall.
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
he gets his little breaks where he gets to come home.
Yeah.
But it's not like he won't be home on Christmas morning.
Yeah, and that's tough.
My son is God, football, family, and it's not in a negative way. Your family should always be whatever. It's because he has dedicated so much, and to be honest with you, that's what it requires. If you want to go on family vacations, football is not for you. If you want to go on, you miss your girlfriend and you want to come home for a little while, football is not for you. Unless there's a dire emergency, they have been, for lack of a better phrase, they have been trained to know that they're going to miss birthdays, they're going to miss holidays. So it, in essence, it is God, football, family.
Yeah.
So there's so many events, birthdays, family reunions. Justin has missed, you know, going on family vacations out of the country because football comes first. And that's for any of the players that we have had the privilege of meeting. That is a part of this Hawkeye team, is that's why it was so devastating last year for them not to be able to play. I forget which game that was.
The Music City Bowl.
Yes, they had sacrificed being home with family because they were there. They were practicing. They were training. They were ready to go just for the other teams to have went home and spent the holiday with their family. So what I like to tell people is that Justin – all the players, they're on the field, they're in the camp, they're in the weight room, they are making that, they're putting their bodies on the line and making those sacrifices. But the families are too. You know,
yeah,
it's painful to not have your child at home on the holidays, you know, sitting around the table for Thanksgiving and continuing to make memories, because you do realize that at some point they're going to have their own family and you're not going to get all those days and holidays and memories back. And that's, they've sacrificed their holidays and so have we.
Yeah.
So it's, and there's a lot of family members, or excuse me, a lot of families, they don't have, you know, six kids like Sam and I do. They might have that one child or possibly two. So there are a lot of families that their holidays are lonely because their
yeah.
child is not there. So
that points out again that it's, you know, we say, oh, they got their tuition paid, et cetera. But there's a lot that they sacrificed. And these are 18, 19, and 20 and 21-year-olds, as you pointed out earlier. It's, you know, it's some prime family events that they're missing, you know. I mean, you know, they're no longer sitting at the little kids' table, so to speak. But, you know,
right.
but they're also not able to sit at the big kids' table because they're, you know, they're not home. So, yeah, that's a huge sacrifice. And I think fans need to remember that it's, you know, when we're sitting at home watching bowl games with our families, or sitting at home watching, you know, the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving with our families, players are not. They're you know, right in the middle of it all. So, you know, that's tough. You mentioned God Football Family. Does he get a chance to be involved in church activities or worship groups or anything while he's there? I mean,
yes, so he was, I'm not 100% sure how active he is now, especially what changes they made for COVID, but he was going to like a Bible study group early on, definitely through 2019. When he comes home, we're going to church. Of course, we recently moved, so we're still navigating our way through, you know, where we want to be as far as our church. But, you know, Justin was here a week ago now, and then the time he came before that, you know, we went to church, and he has a chance to, you know, bring his girlfriend and all this other stuff. So, yes, it is. And we do. We don't shy away from topics of religion in this house. It's, if nothing else, our 8-year-old will always remind us, God doesn't like this, so you're not supposed to say that or whatever. So,
yeah.
Yes.
I went through that. So, well, hey, we're up on time, and I, like as I said before, I have kept you guys longer than I had a right, but I so enjoyed getting to talk to you all. I want to thank you for letting people know, you know, just what's going on, that it's not necessarily you know, a bad thing, so to speak, for old timers, that it's not it's not all about you know, this kid being able to make money. And I appreciate what Sam said. You know, there is the concern that, you know, it could get out of hand for some kids, but it was great talking to y'all. Good luck to you all this fall. Great. Good luck to the Hawkeyes. Good luck to Justin. What one thing should we all be thinking about for him? If you could tell us, what's the one thing we should be praying for Justin for this season?
Touch the field.
Healthy.
Yes, to be healthy.
Healthy and touch the field. Great. Well, folks, thank you so much for being on. I gotta sign out so that I can sign out for the rest of the show. We're up on a minute left. So I thank you so much, Nikki and Sam, both of you. Good luck to Justin this year. Good luck to y'all. Hope you get to every single game. And Sam, from your mouth to God's ears on those predictions. So I thank you both and have a great week. We'll see you on Twitter.
Bye.
Okay, there you have it. Sam and Nikki Britt from Indianapolis, their son Justin, Hawkeye offensive lineman. Some good info. NIL does not have to be a bad thing. It does not have to. It can be a good thing, and it can be good for the athletes and their families. We're up hard against it. So, folks, thanks for being here. I've got to run, and we're up against time. Thanks for being here. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. Be safe. God bless. Good night, all.